AM 570 KLAC, 98.7 KYSR, HD2.
Los Angeles.
Available anywhere using the iHeartRadio app. AM 570, an LA sports icon.
Fred Rogan is here tonight.
Decades on your television covering Los Angeles sports.
Fred Rogan, huge in Los Angeles.
The Dean.
I'm the Dean.
Fred Rogan.
Weekdays before Petros and Money.
A USC All-American.
USC's Rodney Peete.
An NFL quarterback.
Absolutely perfectly delivered by Rodney
Peete.
Available on the iHeartRadio app or on AM570LASports.com.
This is Rogan and Rodney.
We continue Fred Rogan, and today Rob Parker is sitting in for Rodney. And Rob, I can't tell you how much we appreciate you being here today.
Always a pleasure. Thanks for having me. You know, I love it. Talking sports on AM 570 LA Sports.
Okay, don't forget, you can catch Rob on The Odd Couple on Fox Sports Radio every night. If you're listening on the app in the East, it's 7 to 10. And if you're here in the West, it's 4 to 7. His partner is our buddy Chris Broussard. They do a terrific show. I think they had the biggest rating increase in national radio year to year. So it's a great show. I filled in for Chris when he's been off with Rob. And give it a listen once in a while, because I think you'll really enjoy it. Now, let's bring on someone that we look forward to bringing on every day at this time, Rob. He provides us spirituality. He provides us unity. And he attempts to provide us clarity. That's not always accurate, but he tries. So for the Daily Haiku at 2, so you need this on your national show.
Yes, definitely.
We welcome on Vic the Brick. And Vic, good afternoon. Vic, Rob doesn't know that you're supposed to sit here and let it marinate.
Yes, he does, because I told Rob and Jonas when they filled in for you, and they let him sit there and marinate. So once again, Fred, you ruined it.
Let him marinate like a piece of steak. Go ahead.
No, I understand, but I was just trying to be helpful. I didn't want Rob to become concerned, as I have become concerned, that maybe he fell asleep, he had another call.
Nope.
He fell.
Rob is well aware.
Yes. Okay.
All is well.
Fred, right. Don't worry about it. He's not listening to the Jim Rome show and fell asleep. He's okay.
Good afternoon, nice. Fred.
Hello, Vic.
Good afternoon, Rob. Pleasure to hear you.
As always, Vic, great to hear your voice, my man.
Queens in the house.
All day.
Good afternoon, K-Fig.
Hey, Vic.
And good afternoon, Double A.
Yes, you.
Well, the beard grows in Brooklyn. It's a great move for James. That's some stacked lineup that the Nets have. It could work, because they still have Dinwiddie next year when he comes back from the surgery. So they're going to be a stacked team. And who knew Brooklyn would be the kings of hoop of the five boroughs? Everyone thought the Knicks were coming back with Thibodeau and yada, yada, yada. Forget about it. Brooklyn.
Yeah, Vic, how bad is this for the Knicks?
Oh, it's horrific. But, you know, Thibodeau will keep grinding. You know, Tibbs will keep grinding that, the young unit. And they'll compete. But Brooklyn's a squad. A lot of buzz in Brooklyn.
I can hear the guys now, Vic, in Brooklyn. You know what they're saying about the NBA championship?
What's that?
Forget about it. It's the Nets. Forget about it.
Brooklyn's saying, I got your golden ball right here. Oh yeah, Brooklyn is foaming at the mouth to get James. So that's one of the great scorers of all time, and you align him with KD and the head case Kyrie. I mean, it's wild. It's just a wild, wild mix.
Yeah, but they all have to play together now, Vic.
Well, Steve Nash is a team guy. I think if anyone can coalesce them, it will be Nash. You know, they respect Steve Nash. He's a tremendous ball player, Hall of Famer. Great passer, and of course, one of the greatest shooters of all time. So the respect for Steve Nash is key, and I believe Nash gets that respect. Have you guys seen Naomi Osaka lately?
No, I've not seen. No.
Number one tennis player in the world on the women's side?
Haven't seen it, Vic.
She's now an ambassador for Louis Vuitton.
Really?
One of Rob's favorite accessories.
You already know. They got a lot of my money, and now we're going to have to pay her too, huh?
Exactly.
How old is she, Vic?
She's it's about 22, 23.
Yeah.
She always bought the LV for her mom as gifts growing up. So she's a generational Louis Vuitton fan. And now, she's growing her hair out. She's got like a pretty cool Afro flavor thing going for her Afro roots. I think her father was from Jamaica, I believe.
Not Jamaica.
Her father was Japanese.
Jamaica.
Yeah, her father was, I think, from Jamaica. And her mom is from Japan. I believe that's the roots there with Osaka.
Well, she doesn't have to buy it anymore. She can get all she wants now.
All the product she wants. She really stepped out politically. I'm proud of her. I'm proud of Osaka. She really, at the U.S. Open, I mean, she was tremendous, with the different face masks and, promoting, Black Lives Matter. I thought she was, she really was outstanding. And really, she's really growing. She's really growing as a person, as a spokesperson, as a leader. And we need as many leaders as we can get. Speaking of leadership, I got a new haiku guy for you guys.
Who?
He dropped out of the school of samurai at 23 to write poetry.
Okay.
A disciple of Basho.
Yeah.
He built a hut on the outskirts of Kyoto where Basho would hang out and write. Whenever he was in the Kyoto area, he'd stay there. Want to bring Kyorai into the mix. K-Y-O-R-A-Y, Kyorai.
Kyorai.
Kirai, welcome, my friend.
Now, was he one of, you said he's one of Basho's disciples? Was he one,
yes.
Was he one of the guys that got friendly with Basho?
Yes.
Okay.
He did, back in the 1600s.
So he knew Basho intimately?
Intimately.
Okay. All right. We've learned that.
He would translate Basho, but he had his own style. He had his own, haiku writings.
I'm sure Basho knew that, too.
Yeah. Very well respected. Kyorai. Also wrestling in tonight's sumo tournament in Tokyo. Kyorai.
He's wrestling as well?
I just say that as sort of a little joke.
Oh, okay.
I thought there were two guys with the same name. One who was no longer with us, who was Basho's fancy man and his disciple, and the sumo wrestler. But that is not the case. That was a joke.
No, I just want to add a levity to the situation. This haiku for you on this Wednesday, January the 13th, by Kyorai. Even the hawk's feathers have been smoothed by a passing shower of early winter rain. The feeling, you!
We need more of him.
Kyorai.
We need more of him. Because that was really well done. And it made complete and total sense.
And I got something in my Kyorai, too. I'm trying to rub it out.
Yeah, no, Vic, that made sense.
Two shows nightly, Kyoto Hilton.
Yeah, sure. I mean, the hawk is flying, it's raining, it's wet, the hawk's wings are wet. What else needs to be said?
It's perfect.
Yeah, that was a good one. Can we have more from him?
It's very limited. I'll have to dig deep into the archives. Kyorai is very limited in inventory. You know, it was constantly Busan, Basho, Ishii, Issa, Prince Shiki. So I'll dig deep for some Kyorai.
Well, he has to do more than one. I mean, he was a disciple of one of the masters.
Yeah, he wrote a very wonderful essay called Wanderings of a Lonely Traveler that I'll look into.
Did he really?
I really have too much information on Kiroi. I'm not sure how healthy this is.
So wait a minute. It might not be true?
What's that?
The whole Kiroi? You don't have much information? You don't know how healthy it is?
Oh, no, I have too much information,
Oh,
Fred.
Too much. Okay, good.
I've become like an expert on Kiroi, which, I feel pretty good. I feel pretty good about it.
Yeah. Well, can you do another one by him tomorrow?
I'll delve deep. I'll go deep into my archives, into my haiku archives, because I have many, 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 many books of haiku here in the Zendo.
So you'll just look it up online?
There's not much online on Kiroi. You have to really go deep into libraries and archives.
Kevin, you have
any research it, Fred. This is, you know, haikus don't grow on trees.
I've heard that.
Yeah, you're right. I can actually read his entire online profile to you if you like.
Yes.
So Mukai Kiroi was a Japanese haikai poet and close disciple of Matsuo Basho, a son of a physician born in Nagasaki, connected with Basho in the 1680s. In 1691, he was one of the compilers together with Nowaza Bancho of the Suramino School collection. After Basho's death, he produced Kiroyosho, a rich source of the ideas of and anecdotes about his master.
Kev, you are so smooth, because there's nowhere I could have gotten
good stuff.
Thank you, Rob.
You are so smooth.
That's good stuff.
I learned from Vic. I learned from the best.
That's good knowledge, K-Fig.
That is his entire profile, Fred, by the way, online. That is the only online items I could find on Kiroi.
Okay, well, Vic, dig deep. Do what you can. I know you're busy.
Okay.
But if you get a minute, dig deep, and let's have another one from him tomorrow, because today was one of the best ever.
Oh, I'm so happy that you enjoyed it. As they say, and there's a Japanese phrase for that, yogatane. I am so happy for your happiness. Yogatane.
It's lit. Fire! Stories lighting up the sports headlines.
Well, my happiness is also based on the fact that Jacob Imrani is our attorney. And if you find yourself in trouble, you have to have the best in the business. You know this. We talk about it all the time. There's one attorney in town. He's our attorney. He should be yours, Jacob Imrani, 844-24-JACOB.
Accident or injury, call Jacob Imrani, call Jacob.
Someone else who's happy right now is James Harden. Part of a four-team trade is leaving the Houston Rockets, headed to Brooklyn. Bye-bye to the strip clubs in H-Town. Hello to New York City. Of course, we have Mr. Magic City Monday, Rob Parker, on with us. I don't know.
Yes.
You can tell us what the scene is like in New York versus Houston when it comes to certain establishments, Rob.
There's as many strip clubs as rats in New York. They're everywhere.
Yeah.
Hey, he will have no shortage of strip club, variety, let's put it that way, in New York City. But I really do believe he'll go there with the mission that here's his chance to win a championship.
He owns a strip club.
Well, he has his jersey retired at a strip club.
Oh, that was it.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that'll happen. That'll happen.
Is that
in New York and Brooklyn as well?
Is that his post-retirement goal? You know, Magic Johnson became a successful businessman. Is James Harden to become a strip club magnate when his playing days are over?
Yeah, well, he will visit enough of them wearing his mask.
Uh-huh, of course.
Because he is going to take COVID seriously.
I'm sure.
And then they'll retire a jersey there for him as well.
Great.
That's his deal. You know, a lot of guys want their jerseys hung in the rafters. He wants them hung in strip clubs, Vic.
Will he be the only first, Vic, before you go, will he be the only NBA player to actually have his jersey retired in multiple strip clubs, but not for a single NBA franchise? Will that be possible? Go ahead, Vic.
Oh, to be young, gifted, and bloated in Brooklyn. He's going to lose the weight. Reality will set in. New York will not accept a basketball player of his ilk out of shape. There's going to be a lot of pressure, but that is the cradle of hoop, New York City. So he'll get into shape. He'll score a lot of points. This could be the renaissance, and I'm predicting the renaissance of James Harden in New York. I mean, he's had so many wasted seasons. Obviously, he hates playing defense. He better get his talkers back on D, man. New York respects defense. Anyone could score in New York.
Vic, you don't even like James Harden.
That's not a problem.
Vic, you don't like James Harden.
Brooklyn. It's playing defense.
Vic, you don't like James Harden.
No. I've called him a loser for years.
Right. So why are you excited
about
this?
I let people jump to my bandwagon, but maybe 5-6 years ago, I said, this guy's a loser. He doesn't play defense in the playoffs. He only scores during the regular season. He comes into the playoffs. He takes the playoffs off. I've been saying this for years. And that's a D'Antoni thing also. Him and D'Antoni were the perfect blend of losers.
And D'Antoni's an assistant coach on the staff.
He is.
He's in Brooklyn, too.
They're reunited. And speaking of that big three we're talking about, it might just be two. No one knows what's happening with Kyrie Irving right now. Someone even asked Steve Nash last night, do you even plan on having Kyrie Irving back at some point this season? Now, Nash said, yeah, we do. How does he really know? Because Kyrie's not talking to anybody except on political Zoom meetings. That's the only time we've seen him outside of having no mask on at a club with his family member celebrating a birthday. And Joe Vardon of The Athletic saying there is real concern with people in the NBA community as to how that situation is going to play out and what his future actually holds in Brooklyn this year, whether or not he's actually going to return to the league, Fred.
Whether he's going to return to the league.
No one knows what's happening with him. No one knows why he's gone, where he's gone, what his reasoning is. On top of the fact he's being investigated for the mask issue, independent of that, no one even knows why he left or when or if he'll come back.
All right. Let's be honest here. Somebody knows why he left. The Nets probably know why he
yes,
left.
Yes. They just don't want to tell us.
You're right. Telling me you wouldn't have leaked by now? Somebody wouldn't have said something?
No. In the front office there?
Yeah.
If it's absurd and the reason makes absolutely no sense, no. No, they wouldn't leak that unless they want him out of town. That's what you do. It leaks if they go, we've had enough of his shenanigans.
Right. They try to embarrass him.
Right.
Fred is right. Yeah. Kev, if it was something that they weren't down with or they thought, like, this guy, we can't move forward, you put it out there, embarrass the guy, strip it, say we're not going to pay you, we'll suspend you without pay, right? For not doing your job. They could do all that if they wanted to.
Kyrie Irving's fascinating to me. He is one of the most enigmatic characters in all of professional sports. I mean, who goes on a Zoom call with some political hack, you know, when the Nets are tipping off? Kyrie Irving. He is really unfindable. I find him fascinating. He's such a tremendous ball player that he gets away with his with all his idiosyncrasies. But the time will come when Brooklyn will say, Kyrie, you got to show up and play ball, man. We know you're enigmatic. We know you're a puzzle. We know you have all these different interests. But you got to play ball, man. I mean, all this off the court stuff is interesting and fascinating. The whole thing. But you got to play ball. I think he'll come back and play ball. But he is fascinating, though.
To say the least.
Yeah, you know? He's fascinating and interesting to talk about, and a real problem. A real Rob. When I did your show and we both picked the Nets, what I said was they could win the East if Kyrie has his head screwed on straight.
No, right. There's no doubt that he has to get it worked out because we know he's a great player. If you look at his numbers to start the year, he played great. So it's not whether he can play or not, but whether his head's going to be into the game and be there for his teammates. And now that Harden has shown up, will show up, maybe he realizes, I can't play around here because Harden and KD could win a championship. They're good enough.
Doug Peterson's tenure in Philadelphia did not end very well. No longer has a job there. And the NFL did announce earlier today that they are not going to take any disciplinary action against the Eagles for Peterson benching Jalen Hurts in the fourth quarter or third quarter, late third quarter of a game where they were still very competitive. And had they actually competed to win that game, would have allowed the Giants to win the NFC East. But the NFL says they're not going to take any action. That could be because Peterson, the guy who's the head of the snake or was the head of the snake, is no longer there. Or because they just can't fine or penalize a team for maybe not being competitive. Maybe Doug Peterson actually thought Nate Sudfeld gave them a better shot to win the game. I guess there's no way to disprove that, Fred.
Well, again, the problem with that is when you observed it and you thought, well, wait a minute, this makes absolutely no sense. Maybe it was the front office that suggested, all right, let's give this guy a look. I mean, what the hell? It's over anyway. not about us anymore, and it doesn't matter how it impacts anyone else. I think it's really hard to say you're not trying to be competitive. The way you're trying not to be competitive is to start your left guard at quarterback, right?
Yep.
And to play your running back at defensive end. You can't prove that you're not trying to be competitive. Because if this guy goes in and plays well, it's not even a conversation. So I can't see how they could even make that argument.
Rob?
Yep. I think that you can't prove that. Was Pittsburgh not being competitive when they didn't play Ben Roethlisberger in the last game of the year, Kev, with four or five teams trying to make the playoffs in the AFC? Mm-hmm. I think they gave Cleveland a break. So mm-hmm. I don't think you could do anything about it. And I still don't believe that's the reason why Peterson got fired. He got fired because they got a MVP caliber quarterback that they can't get corrected and figure out, and he didn't have a plan on how to get that done. And I think that's what cost him his job.
The NFL just wants to move on from one of the most embarrassing sagas in NFL history. You remember the day after, I was foaming at the mouth what Peterson did. And not, you know, obviously I'm a Giants fan, and one of the Giants, you know, to somehow sneak into the playoffs and get eliminated. But the bottom line is, you know, Peterson, you know, committed, you know, a horrific sin, you know, of all sports, and that's tanking. I mean, he tanked, you know, to go to move up from 9-6 for the Eagles. Well, you're 9-6 this, Peterson, but bottom line is, you know, it's such a good old boy club. You know, you're going to see Peterson get a head coaching gig before Eric Bieniemy. You know, so systematic racism is going to, you know, raise his ugly head once again in the NFL, and you're going to see Peterson get a head coaching gig before the, you know, 10 times the coach Peterson is, Eric Bieniemy, will still be sitting there, you know, getting these interviews, you know, with 10 teams while Peterson's running the New York Jets.
Speaking of quarterback news, Tua Tagovailoa, high draft pick for the Miami Dolphins. Mixed reviews on his performance this season, but there is a report out of the Miami Herald that there are some unnamed Dolphin players saying that they really didn't see a lot of him this year, thinking he was going to be a good franchise quarterback by the end of the year when Ryan Fitzpatrick was out. They thought he actually gave them a better chance to win games than Tua did, and now there's rumors out there that Miami could possibly think of taking another quarterback with that Houston Texans draft pick they have high in this year's draft. So I guess if we're looking at the Miami Dolphins, do you pull what the Arizona Cardinals did when they cut the cord very early on Josh Rosen and went with Kyler Murray? If you're the Dolphins and if you're not pleased with what you saw from Tua after 1 year, do you cut bait and look for another potential franchise quarterback?
Here's what I don't understand. First game he played, he didn't look good. Then he looked better. So after the first game, the immediate feeling was, well, we got to make a move here. Yeah, this is going to be it for him, and we're going to look for somebody else. Then he plays well a couple of games. Oh, well, we found our guy, and it's not even a conversation. We can look at a different direction. And now we're right back to where we were before he started. Is this the guy we want to go with? My feeling? Go with somebody else. That's what I think.
You know what, Fred? They already told you that they don't believe in the kid. When you're putting in Ryan Fitzpatrick, who is a career journeyman, been on 15 teams, never made the playoffs, and you're wasting snaps on that guy who's never won anything and pulling Tua out of the game, it tells you you don't believe in the kid. He's got to learn how to play. He was a first-round pick, came from Alabama that won national championships, and you're putting in a journeyman. They already signaled. That's why I believe they'll take a quarterback. I don't think they believe in Tua.
You know me. You know me.
Yeah, we know you.
No one's a bigger Tagovailoa fan than VTB. But I definitely saw a decrease in production and skill set as the season wore on. He didn't really improve. Yeah, he had those couple decent, solid games. But then, you know, all I could see him throw was a nice 12-yard pass. And that, you know, he didn't really throw a nice deep ball. You know, he made decent decisions. But I'm not going to just jettison Tagovailoa after 1 year. I'm giving Tua, you know, another shot if I'm Miami.
And that's what's lighting up the headlines.
Kevin's been great.
Well, LeBron James shot the ball, turned around, only knew it went in when the bench erupted. That bet for a Benjamin is coming up next.
Let us give you money. Your chance to win $1,000 is right now. Yeah. Text the nationwide keyword LOVE to 200-200. You'll get a confirmation text and info. Standard data and message rates apply in this nationwide contest. Once again, that's LOVE to 200-200. Good luck.
AM 570 LA Sports.
If you missed any of Rogan and Rodney, you can podcast it on the iHeartRadio app.
Rogan and Rodney.
AM 570 LA Sports.
I don't have much to say. I'll be out front. What you comes for my night.
Today, Rob Parker sitting in for Rodney. It's always greatly appreciated. So the Lakers conclude yet another sweep of a mini series last night, Rob. And aside from what New Jersey did today, you still like Brooklyn. The Lakers.
Fred?
Yes?
You said New Jersey. You meant Brooklyn. I mean,
Brooklyn. Yeah, my bad. Well, old habits die hard, Rob.
No, I get it.
Yeah, but you still like the Lakers.
To make the finals?
Yeah,
to make the finals, the Lakers have a good shot. It's not like the season's over and they can't win, but I think the Nets with those three players, if they get it all figured out and guys are really committed and James Harden goes back to being the player, Fred, that we know he can be and scoring 30 points or whatever it is, 25 in Brooklyn because they got so much firepower, they're going to be in the way of LeBron James and Anthony Davis trying to repeat, no doubt.
Okay, well, let's bring in one of the Laker insiders for The Athletic, Jovan Buha. Jovan, thanks for coming on, man.
What's happening?
How's it going, guys? Thanks for having me.
Going well. Okay, last night, you know, the Lakers won. Wasn't much of a game. Houston imploded afterwards. Harden's gone. But come on, the greatest moment was when LeBron James set a Benjamin, hit that three, watched the bench, didn't even see it go in and ran down the court. Talk about that.
I mean, that was, I feel like at this point for LeBron, it's hard to add clips to the highlight reel, but I feel like that one is going to be on the LeBron James all-time highlight reel. It's going to be towards the end. You know, it's not the block in Oracle Arena or anything like that. But, one of the biggest developments over the last half decade or so has been his three-point shooting. And last night, Frank Vogel actually said he thinks LeBron is probably the best shooter on the team, which, you know, maybe that's coach speak. He's just pumping him up. But, hitting a shot like that, doing a Curry-esque move to look away as the shot is up and then making a bet on that. Like that to me summed up, the Lakers trip in Houston. And to me, that was the most competitive sequence of the Lakers 4 days there. And it was between two Lakers, not the Lakers and the Rockets. So
yeah,
that was just that one viral. It was a cool moment.
Yeah. It just further evidence that nothing going on in Houston. They're just playing games. This is supposed to be a competition, and they're taking LeBron and them are playing around during the game. It's amazing at how far the Rockets had fallen to that point. But what do you make of the Brooklyn trade? I think that if they get those guys all together and figure it out, they will be standing in the way of LeBron James and Anthony Davis trying to repeat.
Yeah, I think the upside is clear with the move. You know, the upside is they win the championship. I do think that there are now a couple of unknown variables. Like, one, what is going on with Kyrie Irving? No one seems to know, including the Nets. And even some of the reporting around the trade, you've seen people kind of hedging and kind of couching the language of, you know, KD, Harden, ... and Kyrie. And it's like, you know, what's going on with Kyrie? When is he going to be back? Why isn't he playing? Obviously, I think Brooklyn's chances take a hit if it goes from three All-Stars to two All-Stars. Kyrie is an unknown. And then Harden, too. I don't know if either of you guys watched the game last night, but he was clearly checked out. And I know part of that was just he doesn't want to be in Houston. He doesn't like the situation. But to me, he looks visibly out of shape. You know, he looks heavier than he normally does.
Well, no, he's fat. Rob said he was fat.
Nice. I mean, yeah,
he's
sure, fat. Sure. Okay. I'm trying to be nice about it here.
I'm just going to call it like we saw it. We all watched it. He was basically the Pillsbury Doughboy. And I think a lot of that has to do with How do you get a team to get rid of you? You know what I mean? You do what he's done, which is to check out, to look overweight like you don't care. And I do not believe that a guy of that talent will allow that to happen. Excuse me, I need to get some water. Excuse me.
No problem. Yeah. It was obvious that he didn't want to be there. And really, the Rockets had to do something, Jovan, because that was a terrible, toxic situation. It wasn't going to get any better. It was only going to get worse. And, you know, after that, when he called him out publicly afterwards, that was it.
Yeah, I think that was the final straw. That was the breaking point last night. I was shocked by those comments, especially after the effort he had, right? Like, I mean, if, you know, for him to say, I gave everything to this city, well, yes, you did up to a certain point, which was this past offseason. And since then, you skipped training camp. You were seen out at strip clubs and parties, and you came into shape. You came into camp out of shape. Much heavier, and really, I felt in that Laker game gave an embarrassing effort. Like there were times he would drive, have a layup, and just kick the ball out, and it was like it almost looked like he was tanking the game. Like to be honest, and then to have those comments post game, like I think that was the final straw, and you saw it after. You know, John Wall had some kind of coded comments against Harden. DeMarcus Cousins just went off against him today. Like, it was becoming a very toxic situation that was beyond repair. And I think for Houston to get what they got, you know, I don't think it's the best, you know, haul we've seen. You know, looking at what OKC got for Paul George, or you know, what New Orleans got for Anthony Davis, but I think it's a good haul. I mean, they could have as many as 8 picks, which would be a record. So if you're Houston, I think this is more about just resetting, moving on. And this was a bad situation that they just needed to move on from.
You know what? I know everybody loves picks. I just, you need players. I know it sounds great. Oh, you're going to get all these picks. We just don't know. Look at the draft we just had, which wasn't a great draft. So when you give up a talent like that, they had no choice. Don't get me wrong. But I'd always rather take players. You know what I mean? And maybe a pick or so. But the idea, the Celtics had 11 picks too. They're still waiting for a championship, you know? Like, they got a good team. It doesn't mean you're going to win it.
That's a good point.
Jovan Buchholz with us, Fred Rogan and Rob Parker today in for Rodney. All right, sum up the Lakers road trip. All well, thumbs up, things moving full speed ahead?
I think double thumbs up. This to me was their best defensive, you know, stretch of the season by far. Both games were over by halftime. And I just wrote about this. Across the two games, they had 23 steals and 20 blocks, which is just an absurd amount of both. Already this season, they've had 23 steals combined over two games, 3 different times. They did that 3 times total last year. So this year's team, you know, there was some concern about switching from JaVale McGee and Dwight Howard to Marc Gasol and Montrezl Harrell. You know, they're a little bit slower, a little bit smaller. But that is not bore out with the results. You know, they have the number one ranked defense in the league right now. Their steal and block numbers are right where they were last season, if not better. They're allowing a lower percentage at the rim and in the paint. So, this defense is really taken off after a bit of a slow, shaky start. And, I think a big part of that was Anthony Davis called them out. You know, that Spurs loss that they had a few games ago, LaMarcus Aldridge lit them up. They lost to the Spurs, and you know, AD called him out for how bad the defense was. And since then, they've kind of flipped that switch. So I think with them being the one seed, them being the defending champs, like we see it all the time. There are some lulls. It's hard to get up for every game. But I think what this, you know, reaffirmed is that when this team wants to, you know, try defensively and really lock in, they are the best team in basketball. And now we'll see what happens with Brooklyn. We'll see who's available. We'll see what type of shape they're in. And maybe they end up being the best team. But I think as of right now, the Lakers have clearly shown, you know, they have the best record, they have the best player, and maybe the two best players. And to me, they're number one, not only in the West, but in the league right now.
It will be interesting as this whole thing plays out. But ultimately, the one thing that I think is interesting is that if the Nets do wind up beating the Lakers or whoever wins the championship and LeBron, say, doesn't get a chance to repeat, the very thing that he started, which was the big three in Miami, and it wasn't Boston because they made trades to get Garnett and Ray Allen, but LeBron starting that big three, this will be the second time that he will be have to wind up could wind up losing to what he started. It happened when KD went to Golden State, and now it could wind up happening as Harden is now in Brooklyn. That's pretty interesting, isn't it? That LeBron could actually wind up being hurt by something that he started.
Yeah, and honestly, like, I think you could maybe make the case if Harden gets back to a certain level, you know, the level we're accustomed to. Like, I might even say Brooklyn's big three was better than the Warriors' big three. Now they had a big four, so that kind of changes the equation. But if you're just going off of the big three, Kyrie is the third guy. I would take over Clay or Draymond. So, I think the Brooklyn situation is fascinating. I think quietly Jared Allen was having a nice season for them, playing pretty well. You know, Caris LeVert was playing well as well. So, you know, I don't think those are minor losses. I know that they don't have the same, you know, appeal as a James Harden, but both of those guys were pretty important pieces for them. So I don't think they lost, you know, nothing. But, of course, you have three All-Stars, three top, 15 guys in the league, like, you make that happen. So, we could have a Brooklyn-LA Finals, but we'll see if anyone's able to travel. You know, it would be a nice Finals trip, but, we'll see what happens with that.
Yeah, Jovan, and on the topic of travel, George Hill came out and said, what are we even doing this for? Why are we playing? The protocol, the rules. We're grown men. We should be able to do what we want. Have you heard any of the Lakers talking about the protocol or what the league is now asking them to do?
Yeah, so multiple guys spoke last night, and everyone basically took the stance of, you know, we don't love this, but we get it. You know, we've been in L.A. County. We've been in California, which has been, you know, arguably the strictest or one of the strictest states. So we've been adhering to a lot of these protocols. Whether mandated by the NBA or just mandated by the state or county, you know, basically since March. So, and that was basically what LeBron said. He was like, look, like, it's not really changing much for us. We've already been, you know, on lockdown at home and not going to restaurants and, you know, only leaving for essential activities. So I think, you know, it also helps that this team is going for, you know, they're playing for something. You know, if it was a lottery team and, you know, you're not really playing for much, maybe you don't have that same motivation. But, you know, to a man, everyone has said, we're going to follow the rules as best as we can. And, again, I don't think they're thrilled to not have guests on the road or basically be in lockdown, you know, when they're at home. But, you know, they want to win a championship. And you know, this team, I think, has shown an impressive resolve and commitment already to start this season. You know, if you look at some of the, like, they haven't really had any COVID cases. They've only had, Alex Caruso was in the health and safety protocol, but that was for close contact with someone. But other than him, you know, they've been fine. And that shows that, some of it's on luck. You know, you play a certain team and maybe a guy has COVID or something, but, they've steered clear. They have not broken the protocol the way we've seen other teams and players. So I think they're locked in on it. And I don't think anybody loves it, but I do think it's the cost of going for a second championship.
All right, Jovan, thanks for coming on. Great stuff today. Really appreciate it.
Good stuff, man. Appreciate you.
Thank you guys so much. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Jovan Buha of The Athletic, one of the Laker insiders. Lakers are in Oklahoma City tonight. Clippers host New Orleans, and Zion Williamson is out. He'll miss the game due to COVID-19 protocol. You can hear the game right here on AM 570 LA Sports. Adam Oslin, who's working with us today, and we appreciate that, Adam. We'll be doing Clipper Countdown, and that starts at 6 o'clock. And then we'll have the call of the game at 7. Oh, by the way, we're going to share a tweet with you when we come back, Rob. We'll share a tweet. Yeah.
Is it directed at me?
Not directed at you, but good. We're going to share this tweet. I want to get your take.
Hey, Drew Scott here.
And I'm Jonathan Scott, reminding you that life's better with a home policy from American Family Insurance. They can help you get just the right protection at just the right price and help you save when you bundle home and auto. kind of like Goldilocks and the Three Bears. It'll be just right for you. We love a custom build. American Family Insurance. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
I mean, that is just sad.
Sad sack of the day.
Okay, the highly anticipated sad sack of the day. It's a well-deserved honor for Larry Nance Jr. of the Cavs. You'll remember he played for the Lakers last night, 2 of 11 from the field in their loss to the Jazz. They were blown out. Despite last night's thud, Nance is having a pretty good start to the year, though, averaging 11 points and 6 boards, shooting just under 50% from the field. But last night's performance earns him the sad sack of the day. Okay, Rob, so the big story today, of course, is James Harden getting his way, forcing himself out of Brooklyn. Out of Houston, going to Brooklyn. Anyway, back in 2017, he received a tweet that said, never, ever, 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 ever leave Houston. From Yeezy, James Harden's response on September 2nd, 2017, promise, I won't.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Boy, how times change, right?
Boy.
That's why you never say never.
Yeah, you can't say never. It's just a fascinating study of how you can force your way into getting what you want in a situation like this. And maybe both teams will be better. Certainly the Rockets will be, because they went from, you know, every year the thing about the Rockets, right there but never enough.
Yeah, they couldn't get there.
Yeah.
And you know what? For them to just start all over and try to figure it out, because they weren't close to winning. You know, like Harden, they brought in so many different players to try to team up with him. It just didn't work. And if his head is right, you know, here's a moment. I do think he has something to play for. I really do. It's one thing to score a lot of points and be a prolific scorer. It's another thing to finally get a championship where people think of you as that kind of player. I mean, I think that goes a long way, and he has a chance to do it in Brooklyn.
You got to be thinking that he had some conversations with KD, right? They just didn't decide, okay, do it. I'm sure
right.
They talked to Kevin Durant.
Because KD, I believe, could have said no. Like, don't, you know, we don't want this. Like, he could have.
And maybe they wanted to talk to Kyrie, but since apparently they have no idea where he is, he might not have factored into this.
He was on a Zoom meeting talking about politics last night during the game.
Exactly. As well he should, because there's no bigger expert on the political landscape than Kyrie Irving. So it makes complete and total sense. Rob, thanks for doing this today.
Always. Anytime you need me, you know I'm there for you guys. Love it.
All right. You'll hear Rob tonight starting at 4 here in the West. On the iHeartRadio app, on the Odd Couple, Fox Sports Radio. Adam will be on with a pregame show here at 6, Clippers in New Orleans. Kevin, thank you. Great job today. And we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Worldwide through the hard times, worrying faces. Shed tears as we bury brothers close to heart. What was a friend, now a ghost in the dark. Hard part about it, brother got smoked by a